It's the 8th Annual Christocentric Conference at Lord Jesus Christ Assembly. It's amazing, isn't it? And I hope I match today. My wife's not here to dress me. And something simple is matching. Looking at the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ totally matches in the Scriptures. And the only reason I want to bring that up, something simple of dressing, and a lot of people worry about how they match. But He matches perfectly with the Scriptures. The Scriptures were all about Him. And when Pastor Metcalf called me up approximately 40-some days ago, asked me if I wanted to teach, and I was like, yes, the Lord set it up so I had this day off. And I can know He's excited on His end because He gave me the title, The Deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as He said it, and as He was saying it, this soberness came over me, this awe came over me, because this is a big subject. It's a holy subject. And I was studying holiness at the time for about 4 weeks before He called me. And Isaiah chapter 6, he had a vision, or when he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His robe filled the temple. Okay? And it talks about the seraphim there. They're covering her feet. They're covering her face. With two they did fly, and they're crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And then we get to the Gospel of John in chapter 12. And John brings that point up again. And when he brings that point up, he's quoting Isaiah there, and this he spake of Him, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. And holiness for me is hard to define, but Pastor Nat brought it up last night when Ezekiel has his vision of the Lord. Isaiah had that vision of the Lord, and he says, woe to me, I'm undone. Job gets confronted by the Lord. And he says, I'm vile. He covers his mouth. He repents in dust and ashes. He says, I heard about you with the hearing of the ear, which is faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But now my eye sees you, and I repent in dust and ashes. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, it's in the Gospel of John 5 times. That's how John refers to himself. In the book of Revelation, he turns around to see the voice speaking with him. And it's the Son of God. And he falls at his feet as dead. And so that's why I said this, anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about His deity, but you've got deity, humanity, one person, and this is one part of who He is. And, you know, the title that it was The Essential Deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word essential, I just looked it up, and here's what it means. It means absolutely necessary, indispensable, pertaining to or constituting the essence of a thing. It's a basic or necessary element, chief point, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. And the New Testament's loaded. You know, we get to John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in 1:14. But as we're going right there, all things were made by Him. All things means everything. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. So when we start looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get familiar with that. And through this study, I always kind of end up in a tabernacle somewhere in the book of Exodus. And that's what Israel did. The Red Sea's opened up. They go through it. We all know that. But when the cloud, the pillar of a cloud, and it was fire by night, that was with them through all their journeyings. And when you think about that, you're seeing this every day. How do you get used to something like that? But they got familiar with it. You know, when I come up and said, grace and peace, saints, you know, we're here at the Lord Jesus Christ Assembly, as soon as you hear the Lord Jesus Christ, something should engage. This is God who became a man. And I never want to get familiar with that. And for believers not to get familiar with that. Because something should engage right away there. And in His majestic holiness, you know, like I said, John turns around, boom, he falls down as he's dead. And the Lord touches him. Fear not. I'm the first and the last. Behold, I am He that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to deity, you're talking about this full majesty, glory about God. Okay? And what that name represents. Isaiah refers to Him as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the armies. Okay? And that's what is one of His titles is. That word there, Lord, is Yahweh of hosts. Okay? And one way I went with this study, because I think the New Testament is absolutely clear. When we get into Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him, all things created that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. But all things were made by Him. You got a little Greek preposition in. He's the sphere of all creation. It all points right to Him. Years ago, Poyman did a study on the Christosphere in Christ Jesus. Well, everything flows out from Him. That's very clear. Okay? When you get to John 1, when you don't mess with the text as it is written, it's very clear, very straightforward, very simple. And I'm not going to argue that point with anybody. It's different when you're showing people in the Scriptures and you're talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And you can see something engaging. It's like, I've never seen this before. And there's an excitement there. But people that want to come up and argue with me, or they want to bring me another gospel, I ain't going to waste my time with them. Because when we go to John chapter 11, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, His person. He pronounces woes on Bethsaida, okay, on Capernaum and Chorazin, okay? He pronounces these woes on them. But anybody look at what He says right after that? He says, I thank You, Father, that You have hid these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them unto babes. Okay? And when sometimes we get people hand out literature, we know and they're knocking on your door, don't invite them into your house, don't bid them Godspeed because they're bringing a different gospel. But when they go away, do you ever just thank God that He's revealed this to you? That He's revealed this to me? Because it's a divine revelation that Jesus Christ is God. I mean, we know God. The Creator of the universe. He holds every atomos in its place. He rules everything. And so, you know, the New Testament's very clear, and it's neat because right after they reject Him, He tells, you know, thanks to Father that You have hid these things from the wise and the prudent. These people wise in their own eyes. Okay, but revealed them unto babe. And then He says, no man knows the Son except the Father. Neither does any man know the Son except the Father, and the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Okay? That speaks of essential essence, Father and Son, deity. And right after that, okay, He gives the invitation, come to Me. Come to Me. He's the focal point. He's the center point, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I believe the New Testament is very clear on these things, okay? But in the Old Testament, you know, if you had to prove the deity of Christ of the Old Testament Scriptures, what are you going to do? Thank God we have the New Testament. But the Old Testament's written about Him. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life. But they are they which testify. They bear witness to Me. And you won't come to Me that you might have life, okay? So, I wanted to start, and what the Lord kind of took me to was the angel of the Lord is mentioned a bunch of times through Scripture. And that word angel, sometimes it can mean angel as we look as a created spirit of God. But a lot of times, it's the Hebrew word malak, M-A-L-A-K. Okay? It means a messenger, a representative, an ambassador. Okay? So when you look at the angel of the Lord, and we go, I'm going to start in Genesis 16:7. I typed a few things off, which I'm glad I did because I made it big and I forgot my reading glasses on my way down here. So, in Genesis 16, starting verse 7, it's speaking of the angel of the Lord, or Yahweh. Okay? And the angel of the Lord found her, speaking of Hagar, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return unto your mistress, and submit yourself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly. Who's speaking here? The angel, the messenger of Yahweh, the representative of Yahweh, the one who represents the Godhead. He says, I will multiply your seed exceedingly. Okay? And dropping down to 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, you are with a child and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And she called the name of Yahweh that spake unto her, the God that sees me. Okay? God sees us. That's Hagar giving him this title. But he appears to her. This is the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the covenant. Okay? Then we go to Genesis chapter 22. And in verse 11. 22:11. And the angel, or the messenger of Yahweh, called out to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Who's talking? The messenger. The angel of Yahweh, the messenger of Yahweh, is the one talking here. He makes it very clear. And not withholding your only son from me, seeing you fear God. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket in the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And the burnt offering was something that totally ascended to the Lord. He smells the savor of that burnt offering. They did not have no sin offering as of yet. They did not have no trespass offering yet. They did not have no peace offering yet, because they didn't have the tabernacle yet. But back in that, before that time, they did have this burnt offering. Okay? And in 22:15, and the angel, the messenger, the representative of Yahweh said unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, says Yahweh, for because you have done this thing and have not have withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seas and on the shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And the angel of the Lord, we go up into Jacob when he wrestles with a man, Ish, in Hebrew. Okay? And when that wrestling match is all over, he calls the place Bethel. He's seen the face of God, the presence. Okay? And when we go to Hosea chapter 12, I think it's verse 4, Hosea tells you that person was Yahweh. Okay? So God's taken upon Himself this form. Okay? Pastor Knapp alluded to that a little bit last night in some of his manifestations. Okay? And so this angel of the covenant, this angel of Yahweh. And you just start looking at the Scriptures and we let the Scriptures, you know, just speak to us. But we go to Judges chapter 2. And I have to read that one. Judges chapter 2 verse 1. And an angel, messenger of Yahweh, came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. So as you're reading it, who's the angel? Who's the messenger? He's representing Yahweh, the Godhead. Okay? And he makes things clear when he speaks. We get to Judges chapter 6. Gideon beholds them. Okay? You go to Judges 13 when Manoah, he thinks they're going to die because the angel of the Lord's there. Okay? He says, we've seen God, we're going to die. And his wife's like, hey, if God, you're thinking wrong here. But a lot of the saints in the Old Testament, to see God was, to them meant death. Okay? And so, just hitting there with parts of the angel, just laying a little foundation for that. And we're going to go to Exodus. Okay, chapter 13, I think it is. From there on, my notes get smaller and I can't read them. I got it right there. Okay, Exodus 13, verses 20 to 22. And they took their journey from Succoth, their booths, and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And if we just go over to Genesis, or Exodus 14, 19. And the angel of God, and here it's Elohim, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and the cloud was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So though no one could come near the other during the night. And go to 14:24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, Yahweh looked at the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. This angel, this messenger, this representative of the covenant is none other than Yahweh. Okay? And he's looking through the cloud. And it was called the cloud of glory. Okay? Some people talk about the Shekinah glory, which the Hebrew word Shekinah is not really in the Old Testament. It comes from a root, Shekan, which means to dwell. That's where the cloud dwelt. That's where it abided at. Okay? And we used to do the same with the thing Trinity. It's not in the Scripture, but it's there. The Word itself. Okay? But Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're there. Okay? And when they get the tabernacle all completed in Exodus chapter 40, the cloud descends. Everything's ready. The lamb's burning. The sacrifice is there. It descends. It says the glory of the Lord descends. And they couldn't enter in because of the glory of the Lord. And we come to the New Testament, what does John say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And after reading, the Word became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us. This glory that Israel seen comes down to this one point. When you're looking at the Old Testament, Jesus Christ fulfills them. Okay? But it comes down to this point because it says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only unique one, monogenes, one of a kind, of the Father, full of grace and truth. You're beholding the glory of the Lord in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as it were in a glass, okay, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image by different degrees from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit's work in us. And I always like to bring it up. Beholding comes from a Latin word vidare, when you get the Latin transcript where you're videoing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we got videos today in different... You're videoing Him in a Scripture. You're caught up with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's occupation with Christ. And His deity is... When it engages, you're like, wow. It kind of blows you away somewhat. Okay? And then we're going to jump over to Exodus chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel, the messenger, the representative of Yahweh appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Okay? That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But he appears to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Okay? But he's taking a look. This thorny bramble bush is what most people say this type of bush was. Okay? And you're out here in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness and in the world here. Okay? But we got hunters in here, people that like the outdoors, and you see this bush burning. I know Rick used to like to hunt. Okay? And I'm going to go see this great sight. Okay? The bush, it's on fire. It's not being consumed. Okay? And so that's what he says in verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God. Elohim. El. Calls to him out of a bush. Okay? But in verse 2 it says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. So he's talking to him out of this bush. We see it's God. Okay? And see, and when Yahweh saw that, he turned. God called to him out of the bush. And he said, draw not nigh, put off the shoes from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Holy. Okay? Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the Elohim, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Our God is a condescending God. He's coming down into this lowly bush. Who's going to give thought to a bramble bush? God becomes flesh. And nobody's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ here as God in flesh, unless their eyes are opened by a great revelation from the Father to the Spirit, which Matthew 16 says, okay? But He's a condescending God. You know, what did He owe man? Why should He even do this? Okay? I think Romans 13 says, owe no man nothing but to love him. To love one another, to love them. That's what you owe me. That's what I owe you. And then in one sense, because of who God is, God is love, God is also holy, which the whole Testament declares a whole bunch, okay? And He owes us love from because of who He is, His nature and who He is, and He fulfills that. But He's coming down to this level to reveal Himself through a bush. Okay? And He's come down to deliver. He's come down to redeem. He's going to come down, initiate a covenant. The angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant. Okay? And then we get up to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And a lot of times when we read the Scriptures, you know, and we'll read, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. Yahweh means I am that I am. So I am Yahweh, I am that I am. This is a divine revelation to Moses. Because in Exodus 6, chapter 3, he says, by that name I did not reveal myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By the name Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. There's something special going here. God's revealing Himself a certain way right here. And you read commentaries and different things. I'm trying to line this up because Abraham uses the name Yahweh. In Genesis 5:26, the man began to call the name of Yahweh. And it also could be translated as men started to call themselves by that name. Where you could have false Christ too. Okay? But as you're leading up to this is a special name. And when the Lord says, I did not reveal myself, I did not make myself known to them by that name, I just take it out. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have to line everything up. God said it, that's good enough. Okay? But I am that I am. And I spent 2 weeks just thinking about the name I am. How do you define that? I mean, really, Bob comes up to me. Hi, my name's Bob. Hi, my name's I am. Walk away. And it's like, what's that mean? You know, somebody Ruby comes up to Bob, what's his name? I am, you know. Ruby's like, what are you talking about? Okay? This is a divine revelation. I am that I am. And I just, you know, I kept trying to define it. I'd ask some brothers in Christ, you know, what's this mean to them? They're like, well, I don't know. You know? And to wrap your head around it, for me it was tough. I don't think God can, and I ain't judging God no way, but it's great that He used this. I am. I am the light. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the bread. And that list goes on, okay? I am. And what I got from it for me was, God defines Himself. I am that I am. He defines Himself. And we can define Him in a certain way also. But He defines His own self. And it's special here. Because when we get to the New Testament, a lot of us are familiar with John chapter 8. Right? Unless you believe I am, you'll die in your sins. Okay, and the conversation's going on and we get up to John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. There it is. See, Christ fulfills. He's the fulfillment of that Scripture right here. It testifies of me. It bears witness to me and who I am. This I am. And they knew exactly what He meant. They wanted to pick up stones to stone Him when He said He was, I am Son of God. I and Father are one. Okay. So this name I am talks about God, Yahweh, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's His person. I am. Okay? And it's neat because Exodus 23 talks about the angel of the covenant. Okay? Because He'll go before you. And He won't spare. He says, take heed to listen to Him. He won't pardon your transgressions. Okay? And so this angel of the covenant, God's name is in Him. It's who He is. Okay? Deity here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ represented them. But when Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments, what else did he get with that? The tabernacle, the instructions for the tabernacle. And the people were down there making a golden calf. Okay? God tells Moses to get down and they're having a conversation. And the Lord says to him, this isn't going to work. I'm a holy God. You're a stiff-necked people. You know, and I was reading when I read Isaiah there about when Isaiah has this heavenly vision. You know, it's like, I can't really relate to that. But I can relate to being stiff-necked. Okay? I've had a pinched nerve in my neck, so I know when I can't turn my neck. You can turn one way like this, but it's hard. Okay? And you want to go this way. Okay? He says, you're a stiff-necked people. I'm a holy God. If I come up in the midst of you, I'll consume you in a moment's time. And then Moses is like, this is your people. You know, and you've got this big conversation going on. God says, hey, here's what we'll do. I won't dwell in the midst of you. I'll go before you. I'll go before you. Okay? And back then they had the tent of the congregation where the cloud came down there and Moses talked with the Lord, I am. And the people stood out there and watched and be like, the cloud's over this building. And you can see it. And Pastor Tim's going to go in to talk to God. But you got your distance here. You got stuff way out here. You can't get close. God's going to go before you. Sounds like a good plan, right? It's like, the Lord, why didn't you think of this in the first place? This ain't bad at all. You know, I can stand in my house and look at the cloud when it goes and I can leave. You know, how close you want to get here to the Lord? Okay, but what does Moses say? He says, nah. This is in Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 34. Okay? He says, if your presence don't go with us. What's the use? Why lead us up there? See, it's not the promised land. It's about His presence going with you. The I Am. And Moses loved that bush. When you get to Deuteronomy 33, verse 16, and he's pronouncing blessings in 33 there and 16. He says, for the good pleasure, he's talking about Joseph in that verse, okay? For the good pleasure, the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Moses recalls this experience. It's very big to him, okay? But that's what Moses is saying. If your presence doesn't go with us, why lead us up hence? If Christ is not in us, if Christ is not with us, who's going to make it? Who's going to make it on our own? None. Because, see, if His presence doesn't dwell in the midst, the whole point of the tabernacle was for Yahweh to dwell in their midst. They got to learn about redemption. They got to learn about the sacrifices. They got to learn about the offerings, the priesthood, what every one of them means. Okay? It's learning this I am that I am. The whole plan of redemption here and who He is laid out in the tabernacle. Everything about the tabernacle is about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And the tabernacle is a beautiful study, except it had dirt floor in the house of the holies. God became a man, associates with us. Yet Himself, He doesn't have a body of sin like we did. Okay? But that's what Moses is saying. What's the point of it all if you don't go up with us? Scratch the tabernacle. How are you going to make it? Where's the sin offering? Where's the trespass offering? Where's the peace offering? Where's the meal? Where's it all at? Where's the altar of burnt offering at? Where are you going to bring your sacrifice? And Moses says, nah, if you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, forget it. And God says, my presence will go with you. Yahweh said, my presence will go with you. Phew. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ there. Because now we get to study the tabernacle about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not studying a tabernacle. We're studying the person of Christ. Because the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We beheld His glory. So when you're studying glory in the Old Testament, you're looking at Christ. You're studying the tabernacle, you're looking at Christ. I am. Job talks about Christ. All through the Scriptures. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He'll have them in derision and confusion. Who sits in the heavens? Does God sit down? God is Spirit? Okay. Our Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right of God. Okay? He becomes the fulfillment of that Scripture. But back to the tabernacle there, He says, I'll go with you. Okay? And then Moses asked to see, show me your glory in Exodus chapter 34. You know, let me see what you really like. In fact, we'll go to Exodus 34 here for a sec. Okay. Exodus 34. Well, it's really going to start in 33:14. 33:14 says, and He said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Okay? And then in 15 He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us up there. Okay? But as we're going down, in verse 17, and the Yahweh said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them by name. Okay? And He said, I beseech me, show me your glory. And He, Yahweh said, I will make all my goodness tested, pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Okay? And He said, you can't see my face and live, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock. The rock confession, standing upon the rock. God is a rock. There's no rock like our rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And it shall come to pass when my glory passes by that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand and I'll pass over you. And I'll take my hand, away my hand, and you'll see my back, but may face you not be seen and live. So, the glory of the Lord passes by. Just the back parts. Okay? in verse 5 of chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud. No man has gone up to heaven except he who has come down, descended. The Son of Man which is in heaven in John chapter 3. Okay? God's condescending. He's coming down. The Lord descended. Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood there with Him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord stood there with them proclaiming the name of the Lord. Okay? And the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, forgiving sin. Okay? The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We beheld His glory full of grace and truth. Same thing here. Basically, you got in Exodus 34 here. You're beholding His, show me Your glory. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And John looks at Him, sees Him. He's full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory. And we behold that glory in who He is. God becoming a man. And He loved Johannico. He loved each and every one of us. He's graced us out. Okay? It's no little thing. It's nothing to get familiar with. I mean, we hear the Lord Jesus Christ, just hear the word, just like, oh. And there's good emotions. Christ had great emotions. But something should engage there. This is my Lord. This is my God. This is my Savior. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. And it's learning Him as we learn how to lay our lives down for one another in whatsoever way it is. Okay? And in 34 verse 8, and Moses hurried up and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in Your sight, O Lord Adonai, let my Adonai, I pray thee, go among us. Okay? For it is a stiff-necked people. When you really study that out, Moses is saying, for we are a stiff-necked people. Okay? And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and what? Take us to the promised land? Is that what it says there? It says, take us for Your inheritance. That's the covenant. God's taken us for His inheritance. I'll be Your God. You'll be my people. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. That's covenant. That's what it's all about right there. You know, don't take me to heaven. I'm not going to heaven. No. Take me for Your inheritance. I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. God. Become a man. It's amazing. And John, boom, falls at His feet and dead. When I study in Job here, okay, Job 8 and or Job 9 verse 8, Job's talking about He who stretched out the heavens and walks upon the waves of the sea. Where is that Scripture fulfilled? That in the New Testament. Okay, the disciples are out there in a boat rowing. This terrible storm comes. They're crashing down upon the boat. These huge waves. Who's walking upon the waves of the sea? You read that in the Old Testament. God don't have feet. My God has feet. Because it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about God becoming a man. He walks upon the waves of the seas. Okay, you get to Psalm 89. Okay? And it talks about creation. It talks about stilling. You make the seas calm. You still them. And when the Lord gets in the boat, He says, peace, be still. Everything's done. Everything's still. And it says, they're like, what kind of man is this? They were scared. He even controls the seas and the winds obey Him. See, but Psalm 89 there speaks, it finds its fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures bear witness to me. They give testimony to me. And it's exciting. You don't get to, it's just exciting. It's coming out like, this is my God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ here. Okay? And He's our inheritance. That's amazing. But like I said, you know, we ain't going to heaven. He's our portion. We're His inheritance. He's our inheritance right there. Okay, Psalm 89 there. So when, you know, one thing I'm going to bring up, the angel of the Lord, because a lot of people say, you know, well, that wasn't God. But the Scriptures are very, very clear, very simple, and straightforward on that. The Lord Jesus Christ created all things. All means all. Very simple. So when we go to Job chapter 39 or 38, when God confronts Job, He confronts him out of the whirlwind, out of this storm. It's Yahweh. Okay? And He's going to speak to Job. Job lost all of his kids. Lost his wealth, his job, lost everything. He's got this terrible disease. Okay? Still has his wife. Okay? And a wife for me is the type of the church. And Job's going through all these chapters. His friends aren't giving him good counsel at all. He's wondering what's going on. He's got some questions. And it says, Yahweh appears to him out of the whirlwind. Confronts him. He says, buckle up. Gird up your loins like a man. I'm going to have a talk with you face to face. Didn't say nothing about him losing his children. Didn't say nothing about his being sick. About losing everything. He says, who is this that darkens counsel by using words without knowledge? Gird yourself up. You're going to answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you got knowledge. Where were you at? Okay? That's the pre-incarnate Christ. He created all things. Okay? And He goes through that. And the first time Job stops, he says, put my hand over my mouth, but God's not done with him. Goes another whole chapter, and you get to the end of that chapter, and that's when Job says, I'm vile. I repent in dust and ashes. When you get a glimpse of the glory of God, something engages there. This is a very big study. I mean, to try to get everything down into a little time frame is very hard, but it started opening up things to me. And the Lord, He's big. He's big. And, you know, that little portion here between 38 and 9, I do believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to be like a scathing time, just like right here. He's confronting Job. And Job gets to the point. Gets to that point, God's done. You know what He says after that? He said, you three guys over there haven't spoke right about me. As my servant Job has. He's still a servant. In the beginning of the book, he's a servant. At the end of it, he's a servant. Because he's redeemed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we are. He belongs to the Lord. Still a servant. Okay? And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to study the Old Testament as you're studying it and bringing things out there so you get Christ. God became a man. We look at 1 Samuel 25:25. It's about Nabal and Abigail. David wants to wipe them out. Okay, Abigail kind of intercedes. You know, Nabal means fool. As his name is, so is he. How in the world could you see Christ in that verse? Okay? As His name is, so is He. I am that I am. As His name is, so is He. The Lord, title for a deity. Okay? Jesus. Yahweh saves. It's basically what the name Jesus means. Okay? Christ, the Anointed One. All God, all man. It's always the suffering servant. This is our God. You know, He's all God. It's big. Okay? But just, you know, when the Holy Spirit's pushing Christ out to us, in the Scriptures. We're learning this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's awesome. He's amazing. Okay? And we'll end here in a few minutes. Okay, just a few verses from Isaiah. And before I get to those verses, then we go to Isaiah chapter 6. Okay, Isaiah chapter 1 was when he had the vision of Uzziah. Or any year that you can get that by. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful. Okay? Counselor. The Mighty God. Who? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world, He gave His only one of a kind, unique Son. Okay? We got the whole Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved with the plan of redemption. Okay? But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall... You ever think everything about wonderful? Can you write a paper one day and put down all the wonderful things you can think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay? His name shall be called Wonderful. Write down all the things about Him being a counselor. Yeah, for your own selves. If you want to, okay? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Ooh. What do you do with that verse? You got God the Father, God the Son. The Son opens up the relationship of the Father between the Father and Son. And we get the glimpse into this. We get the glimpse into it. And Pastor Nat brought it up again last night. That they may be one in John 17. I and them and thou and me, Father, as we are one. How can He say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty, Everlasting. How can you call Christ Everlasting Father? Because I and Father are one. They're one. Okay? And it also means through beginning children, different things like that. But when you just look at these titles and these names, Prince of Peace, and get into the script, and boy, Lord, open up my eyes. Okay? Let me behold wondrous things. Same word, wonderful, out of your law. Beholding the Lord Jesus Christ in all these things. Okay? That's our God. You know? Very simple. And I'll just read these to you in Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who has worked and done it, calling to the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and last, am He. God's calling Himself here in the Old Testament, the first and last. Okay? Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord Yahweh of hosts. Okay? John chapter 12, His vision. Okay? I am the first and I am the last, and besides me, no God. I am that I am. There's no other God. Everything else is the I am not. Seriously. They're not. Our God is. Okay? Isaiah 48:12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. And when you get to the Greek Septuagint, they use the word ego I me there. Before Abraham was, I am, ego I me. I am the bread of life, ego I me. I am. Okay? When you go to Peter 1:16, and he says, be ye holy, for it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's written in Leviticus. It's written in two other places. But the text says, ego I me right there. So Peter's endorsing that I am the ego I me. Because you read stuff and you'll get into people give you weird translations on some stuff. But He's the first and the last. This God as we're looking at the Old Testament. And we get to Revelation 1:11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Okay? Revelation 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. So everything lines up. Everything melds in together when we're looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our God. His name, I Am. And, you know, when you read things, a lot of us heard about the name Yeshua, right? Jesus' name in the Old Testament. When you do little studies, look how many times the word salvation is used. In the name, that word for salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua. Okay? Psalm 43, He's the health of my countenance. He's the, that word's Yeshua. You know? The Lord help me, where it's translated in 43 there. The word's Yeshua. So He's there all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. Our God who became a man. He's condescending. He's coming down. And He squeezes Himself into this body, just like the bush. God's speaking. He's running the whole universe. And He puts everything down and puts before us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear Him. This is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, Paul, John, they're all caught up with the person. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Philippians. We worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. The truth. The truth. So Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together. You know what needs to be ministered to each and every heart here. And just help us to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, Amen.